You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello, everybody. Oh my goodness, another week has gone. It's freaking crazy how quickly this year and has gone. My God. So thank you so much for joining us. You're on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Last episode here for us before Thanksgiving. I'll have my thoughts on that in the last segment. But hey, without further ado, I've got someone that you're going to want to hear from. She's running for state senate. I have Emily Cephas.
Hello. We're
here. What's going on?
You know, a lot.
You're busy. Yeah.
Yeah, we're busy.
What's new? Not much.
No, just running around like in a million directions most days. But here we are. Yeah. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Because so often we get distracted by the national stuff and it's insane. But I think what we have in Wisconsin is a really incredible opportunity to have something that we haven't had since 2012, 2010 for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. And I think you're going to be part of that solution.
I hope to be.
Right?
I do. Yeah.
So talk about that. What's your district? Where are you?
So it's Senate District 19. Okay. So it's the rural western parts of Outagamie County. And then it goes into Wapaka, Washera, a teeny tiny bit of Portage County, and then Winnebago as well.
Nice.
So it kind of like skirts around like the Oshkosh, Needham, Menasha, Appleton, like anything that's suburban or rural is the 19th.
So oh, okay.
It's a big area.
The city of Wapaka?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. I used to work there.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm connected to that community.
Yeah, I have too. I've been on the chain a few times.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It is a beautiful area. Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is now, this is not your first time running.
No, I ran in Assembly District 56 last year in 2024. So each Senate district is made up of three Assembly districts. So yep. It's going to be 55, 56, and 57. So I know a third of the area already, which is exciting.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I'm going to build it bigger and better this time.
Yes. Do we know, how is the district makeup?
It is, again, a lot of rural communities. So it skews a little bit older in most places. It does, again, it covers Greenville and the outskirts of Oshkosh. And so there's younger families as well. But it's going to be a lot of those long country roads,
yep.
A lot of long driveways, talking to folks that are working really hard out there.
Do they know a mix of what the percentage is? Do they know, all right.
Well, with the new maps,
yes.
It changed the Senate district lines, obviously. And so this last cycle, I think Trump won it 62%. So it's an uphill battle. We're chipping away at a mountain, but yep. I'm excited to build on what we built last time.
I think that was an enigma.
Yeah?
I do.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, it's in... I mean, you have conversations with people.
I
think that the Trump, in every analyst, they're like, well, yeah, that was a Trump year. So they can't really count that. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. It's, he is not a normal candidate. On
or
the Republic-
a person. He sucks.
You said it, not me.
So
Mark.
Much. So, no, that is a lot goes into that decision.
It does. Yeah. But I think for me, it was, you run in a way I talked to thousands of people on their front doorsteps and sat down in kitchen tables and stuff. And it's been those stories and those people don't go away. Yeah. I felt like I hit a brick wall in November of 2024. I was oh my God.
Yeah.
But to go from that and say, the problems persist and the people in charge in Madison, who have the majority right now on the Republican side are not alleviating the problems that these people are still experiencing. So let's see if we can get some new leadership, some new blood in there that's ready to make some change.
Yeah, that would be freaking sweet. and it's crazy. You go through that whole campaign cycle and you hit the brick wall and you just pass out.
Yeah, I did for a minute there.
Yeah, but then you get back up and you're like, screw it, let's do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I run marathons, so it's kind of, it reminds me of that, where at the end, you don't ever want to be asked, will you ever do this again? But after the pain subsided just a little bit, you're uh-huh. like, you know what? That I learned a lot. Like, I actually enjoyed the process, and we're gonna do it.
So talk to us about yourself. What's your background? I was running marathons. You're nuts.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't do that. Yeah. Yeah. What do you do for a living?
So I used to teach. I was a classroom teacher for a while there, and then we have three kids, so they're getting older. We have a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, and then my youngest is 7. He's also adopted and has some pretty significant special needs. So I do a lot of running around to appointments and therapies and things like that. But ultimately, like, I've kind of taken on this like volunteer organizer role, and I'm just trying to step in where I can to help people.
What did you teach?
I taught language arts and literature in a middle school setting. Yeah. Oh, and I also taught in Mexico and Nicaragua for a little bit.
But for real?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Talk about that. What was that like?
I did my student teaching. So it's like half of your year. I did 8 weeks in Mexico within a bilingual school. So that was fun. It was immersion. And I got to teach, you know, these little tykes. And then I was in Nicaragua, like in a coffee growing region for a while. Oh. And I got to teach like in a, you know, a school, one room schoolhouse with a dirt floor and talking to folks that are working on the mountainsides with their families. Yeah.
How was that?
It was eye-opening. Like, it really opened my eyes to like what abject poverty looks like in a setting like Nicaragua, a developing country. But also like that community aspect, you know, like, and just connecting with people and how important that is. And that, I think we've gotten away from that, like in our society, because we're able to be so individualistic. We travel freely. Like, there's so much wealth in this country. And so it's like not so much about the neighbor down the road. I want to get back to like knowing my neighbors. Right. And like showing up for each other. So
it's man, like that would give me such, I'm going to talk about it in the last segment, but it's such perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear people complaining. It's like, bro, you have no idea.
Right. I know. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Is it really a problem? No.
Right. And then, but then I think it also would cement a little bit of like what really is a problem, you know? And I mean that by like, you look at the state legislature and how they don't, there's no willingness, no desire, no nothing to actually solve problems with people from opinions that are different from them.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. It's like you, and that is, I think these things have never been working for so many of us for so long. And I think just getting back to that, you know, rolling up your sleeves, fixing the immediate problems when you can, but like refining programs and systems so that they actually function for people that need them, instead of being like, you have the wrong letter behind your name or on your little placard. And therefore, like, no, like Robin Voss yesterday or whatever, earlier this week with the postpartum Medicaid extension. And then like, you have bipartisan support, man. It just was, you can't seem to get past your own self. And it's sad.
It is sad. And, you know, it's interesting to see that. And I would have thought that the ideas would have changed when they see what's coming.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, you've pissed a lot of people off these last, you know, 15 years. You might want to build some bridges and mend some fences here, because no one's going to want to work with
and frankly, if you're not willing to solve the problems, like, get out of the way. Like get out. So
And I've talked with Senator Chris Alfheim about this, and it was interesting, like in the legislature you can't even get a bill to the floor as a member of the minority party.
That's what I've heard.
No, you can't.
I know.
And you have to work with someone who is a Republican, just and do all the work and then hand them the
bill. I think
bill.
That I saw Senator Royce. She was like, these were my bills, but they repackaged them and now they're Republican bills and they're actually being seen. She's like, so good for us that this is happening.
Yes.
It's just unfortunate that we're playing these kind of silly games as adults.
It is ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. We need adults in the room.
We need adults in here. We're talking with them. We're talking with Emily Cephas, running for state senate. What kind of, I don't know. I mean, talk about the campaign. What have you done so far?
Well, we're pretty new, so we've just been kind of getting our feet under us. So I'm, you know, forming my volunteer team. So I've got folks from across the district that we're reaching out to right now to get in the same room so we can kind of talk about what the ground game's going to look like. I really think that with the culture being as it is right now, like the most effective thing we can do is talk to our neighbors on their front steps and do it in a way that's like rooted in respect. So there's that. We also, like, I just wrapped up a, well, sort of wrapped up a big food drive because as the government shutdown was happening and and so we were able to raise and donate thousands of pounds of food to local community pantries.
That's cool.
And dollars as well. Like, I mean, and it was so cool to see ordinary people that were like, I'll put a bin out. And we just went around and collected them. Yeah. And it's just folks that are like, the government's not working for us in the way it's supposed to. So we're going to step up and do what's right for our neighbors.
How does it work with, you know, your state Senate and there's three assembly people that are running? I mean, mm-hmm. what kind of a teamwork do you have with those folks that are?
It's a good question because typically, like, to my knowledge, I'm relatively new to the running side of things. Like, there hasn't been a lot of coordination, but we're changing, like, that the goal for me in 19 is to change that, where I'm working directly with all of the assembly candidates to make sure that we are like supporting each other, that we are helping to cover the ground, because these are all non-targeted districts, which is an important thing to mention.
Yeah.
So we were not going to get the same help that somebody in a Waukesha or in Appleton or, you know, wherever, or Green Bay is going to get. And so we really need to like create our own wind out there.
Yeah.
And so the communication and the collaboration that we can do to make that happen for each other, I think will be really important. And also just continuity wise, so that you're not like being like, run as a Democrat in an unwinnable district and let's do it again, because that's really hard to ask for people. So,
When I was a Republican back in the day, mm-hmm. My first race that I worked on was the 88th Assembly District. And it was John Klinke. And one of the things that he did, and he was successful at it, was he was running and they all kind of, helped out the candidates that were running in Senate and Congress and all of that. They all worked together.
Yeah. I think it's like getting out of that.
They have to do that.
They have to, because otherwise you're operating with, I think that because it's such a hard, it's a hard thing out there to run. But like if you operate with the scarcity mindset where you're like, those are my voters, like that's never going, those are my donors or whatever it is. That's never going to work.
Dumb.
Yeah. And so we just really need to be rowing together and like bolstering each other. So
yeah. That's the
plan.
Are there announced people for those seats? Or are they?
No, not yet. So if you're listening and you live anywhere and you want to run, seek me out. I'm happy to talk.
It is. It's a little early.
But
you know, but I think too, if the district is going to be a little bit difficult,
I think the longer runway you can have in these districts, just because like you have to earn trust, right? And you can't show up 3 months before an election and be like, I'm here, vote for me, because they won't. But if we can just establish ourselves as like, we're here over and over again, like I have to believe that people will be like, oh, she keeps showing up and doing these things.
Right.
Like, she clearly cares about us enough, or she's got enough time in her hands to make it happen.
Or
so,
both. Yeah. You know, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's like, oh God. It is like running a marathon. There's a lot that you have to do.
Yes. And we're only at like mile two. So hop on in.
Good Lord. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of response have you been getting at the doors?
People are kind
of... It's way early to do
it's
doors,
super early,
though, too.
And I don't... And it's not the same kind of doors, right? Like, I'm obviously not going and being like, vote for me.
Like, nomination.
But, right. But
can
what,
you circulate right
no,
now?
No, I'm not even doing that. It's just going up to people and being like, hey... What hurts? Like, basically, I'm like, hey, I just want to know what keeps you up at night. That's all I'm here to do. And sometimes it's people mentioning like all these federal issues, but oftentimes it's like, I'm working really hard and it's really hard for me to pay rent or to pay my mortgage or to go to the grocery store. And so like just talking to folks about issues that are right outside their door and slapping them in the face and then trying to like work with them to be like, let's see if we can address these issues locally.
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So when can you circulate?
April.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
Take the winter off, man.
Nah.
Oh God. No, yeah, don't do that. But like I remember running for a county board and knocking doors in the winter and it's dark and it's cold and it sucks. Oh my God, I hated that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking with Emily Seville. She's running for state senate here in the Rational Revolution. Stick around, more with her when we come back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Everyone loves the Foo Fighters. What are we doing? Well, welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Beck. I always try to say something dumb in there.
I mean, I'm Dave Grohl. Like, I grew up on the Foo.
He's awesome.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like super into barbecue, which is weird.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he does competition smoke stuff. Oh. And then he like donates the food to people in need. So it's like, come on.
If I didn't love him before.
What a guy.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. We're talking with Emily Sebas. I'm Mark Becker. We're on the Rational Revolution. So you mentioned on the other side that you walk up those long driveways, knock on unsuspecting doors, and say, what hurts? What are you hearing?
I mean, again, it's people that I think a lot of it is about just the cost of things, right? Like there are people that are working really hard, working more than full-time jobs, and they're really finding it difficult to get all the bills paid at the end of the month to go to the grocery store and buy what they used to be able to buy. And like, you know, they're concerned about property taxes. It's just like the kitchen table issues. Like, it's so funny because I feel like with the way we consume and the way that everything's put out there on social media and media in general, it's all this like manufactured crises that exist and like the clickbait and all that stuff. But when you talk to people on their doors, like they could not care less about it. They're like, I just need to be able to pay my bills, right? Like, I just need to find childcare that's affordable to me. And it's so like, that's where you begin to be like, we can fix that. Like, we can work to fix that. So that's what I'm continuing to try to do, to be like, ignore all that noise. We don't need the noise. We need to fix what's right in front of us.
It's interesting how, you know, you see people like here locally, Ron Johnson and our buddy Tony Weed, won by gaslighting the American people and the people in Northeast Wisconsin about, oh, these are the, you know, this invasion at the southern border.
I heard that on doors too. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
Yeah. Like I had this woman in Greenville and I walked up to every door, even if they had big old flags and things like that. And she had a big old flag in her garage. And I was like, tell me what's important to you or what matters. And she's like, I'm afraid when I go up north, someone's going to come to my house and be squatting in my house when I get back. And I was like,
it's what? Not a thing.
No. But it's like, it's so sad because I can't laugh. But
really freaking believe that?
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's because people are being manipulated. Yeah. And what we're trying to get away from is like just siloing ourselves in such a way that like allows you to like exist in a world where that is plausible, you know? And so again, it's going to doors and not like laughing them off, but being like, that would be really concerning if that were actually happening, but it's not. Like, so let's talk about these issues that matter right now.
Yeah. I mean, don't even get me started on something like furries in school, not a thing. Chemtrails, not a thing. Mm-hmm. Vaccines are real.
Yeah, you do hear a lot of conspiracies.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's something that really, you know, the loss of faith and trust in like just known fact is so sad.
Yeah, but I think like that's true, but I think that part of the responsibility that we have, like those of us, especially like on the Dem side, that are going out and hearing those things, like there was I specifically remember certain doors that I went to, and there was a mom with young kids that was talking about the furry thing. And I was talking about I was like, do you know that teachers like have like kitty litter boxes in their classrooms, not for furries, but because in a lockdown, they use those so kids can toilet themselves or they can clean up vomit. Like that is what happens.
Yeah.
And so like going back to that, because I think that what we need to do in those situations, when we hear those things that are just off the wall and based in complete like fallacy, is cater like messaging locally, hyper locally to combat that. Because if you know, if someone's talking about the local school that has furries in it or litter boxes or whatever, like you need to counter message that immediately right now in that local area, instead of letting it go unchecked, like spreading like wildfire.
I wish there was a way. And I know that there are places that do that, but like I wish there was like a coffee table group that would meet with people that can like just talk to folks on how to combat that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, because in my business that I run, people say that all the time, just stupid, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like you and I want to sell them things for my business, so I'm not like, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you can't say
can't
that.
Do that. Can't
you can't do that,
Mark. Do that. No.
But it's like, do you really honestly believe that?
I know, but they do.
I know.
They do. And so like to, I think that a misstep is to, so I'm glad you don't, like for your business, but also just personally, because you can't go up to a person that like is feeling anger or like those feelings are real. They're not based in reality as far as like what brought them on, but you to dismiss them entirely is not going to bring them closer to us. I know.
Well, and it's interesting too. I had a gentleman, Dan Olson, a few weeks ago that he's a consultant in, with agriculture. And I mean, that is a very, very bright red industry. And his clients, boy, are they feeling some pain.
Right.
And they're kind of realizing, okay, I know what's what caused that pain. Mm-hmm. And so interestingly, trying to rationalize that in their heads, these people that have been, oh, they're for me, they're decimating their way of life.
Oh yeah, 100%. I was gonna say I talked to a gentleman that I got to know with the assembly run that I did, and we agreed at the like he gave me a shot as a Dem at the bottom of the ticket, but he went red the rest of the way up.
Sure, well, that's
which
cool,
is fine.
Though.
I mean, yeah, it's cool. And he put a sign up in his field. It was great.
Really?
Yeah, but I talked. We keep in contact, and like what I just told him, I was like, I'm sorry that you were lied to. Like, yeah. I'm sorry that you were lied to and you believe that help was coming or help would be given to you when you're telling me right now that hasn't happened. And he's like, no, I was. And I think saying that and allowing them to kind of sit there and be like, it realizing that, like that realization, it was a moment where he just kind of like sat and he was like, I was lied to. And I think it's so important to say that out loud to them right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
On day one, we're going to do all these wonderful things where Dave, you know, I don't know, way too many. And here
10
we
years
sit.
Later.
10 yeah. years. Yes. These last 11 months have been a long 10 years, yes. A long decade.
Yeah.
We're sitting down here with Emily Cephos, running for state senate. I'm Mark Becker here on the Rational Revolution. Stick around. We're going to talk about what we can do to make the state better.
Woohoo!
All good
Can't
things.
Wait.
Yeah. Stick around here on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. What we have to say, and why wouldn't you? Check out all of our, you know, the podcasts are available wherever you get your podcasts. You can download the episode, civicmedia.us. Check it out. Listen to them again and again. Share them, all the things. And again, we are sitting here with Emily Cephos running for state senate here. We talked about doom and gloom and all this, like, let's talk about cool stuff, because I think I talked about it last week or the week before that we really have seen some momentum.
Yes.
You know, we saw some electoral big news.
Right.
And I do think that was kind of the start of a pretty darn big wave. I think the most historic wave happened during the Trump 1.0. I think during Trump 2.0, this is going to be a massive, massive tidal wave.
You know, I think so as well. I think the winds are shifting.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited to see what happens in 26.
What are things that are your priority? So you go knock on the door, you tell, you know, people say, okay, well, I'm sorry you were lied to, but what is
Here's
the rest
what
of
I
that conversation?
Do.
Yes.
I think like for me, what, you know, my kind of tagline this time is I want to lower cost, I want to support kids, and I want to make your community safer. And I think those are all things that are achievable if we are able to flip the Senate this time, and with the maps being as they are, and again, this wave that we're hopefully going to see in 26, I think that we'll be able to do incredible things. And so like lowering costs means that we are like keeping our chains as far as like the production and consumption of goods as local as possible. So like Wisconsin first, and like making sure that we're supporting our farmers and the people that are producing these things, making sure that we are supporting our kids, like affordable childcare for families, making sure we're actually investing in our public schools. Like these are all things that we can do. And if we do them right and we do it in a way that is fiscally sound and like studied so that we're not just throwing money at a wall, like we can keep property taxes from continuing to rise if we fund our schools correctly. Like we keep underfunding these things, and then we wonder why they're asking us to increase our property taxes.
Well, right. It's interesting. I was talking with my wife about this, that in our community, they went to referendum a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and we're friends with one of the people that are on the board. They're going to have to go do it again.
Yep.
And my God, and went on a tangent about like how these voucher schools that are unaccountable and all of that are getting all of this money. Well, wouldn't it be great if we would just take the money that should be going to public schools and give them to the public freaking schools?
Right. I mean, that would be great. Like, I think about the fact all this. So I have my three kids. Two of them actually go to a private school system that we love and care about.
Sure.
My youngest son has special needs. He cannot go to a private school. And so, like, in my mind, when you're paying money like to a private school system, that private school system, which is founded with your dollars, they can afford to hire SLPs. They can afford to hire occupational therapists if they truly want to be inclusive of everyone. And if not, then stop it. Like, because the only ones that are accepting the kids that need that kind of support are our public schools. And so that is where our taxpayer dollars should go. So every single student, no matter where they live, gets exactly what they need for a full, like, you know, educational experience. So they can reach their full potential. And like our rural schools as well, when you don't have mm-hmm. many private school systems to draw from, like that's your option. And we continue to starve these things. And then we see 200-ish districts go to referendum electoral cycle. That is a chronic problem. Let's fix it.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
Yeah. So I'm just talking about that kind of stuff. And then also just with our safer communities, like making sure that we're supporting police officers. I talk to a lot of departments that are in more rural areas that talk about the strain that mental health plays on their resources and the time that they spend with their community members, because they're not well trained in how to support someone having a mental health crisis.
Right.
And if we actually rethink how to support and budget for and make sure that they have what they need, it'll free up the officers themselves to do the jobs that they're supposed to do, so that someone else can deal with the mental health aspect of
it. Crisis. Yeah. Yeah. We try to give them all the tools on their tool belt, but mm-hmm. that's one that they really don't.
No,
I mean, they shouldn't.
Right. And you talk to people like I talked to the police chief in Grand Chute, and we were talking about the fact like they live on that corridor, the 41 corridor going up north. And so there's many people moving through there and stuff like that. But he was just talking about that. He's like, our officers, which, you know, cover this area with a lot of traffic moving through it, then have to deal with mental health crises. Those are long, you know, it's taking them to the right facility. It's making sure they get the right treatment that they need. And then we can't be on the streets. Like, we can't be on our beat doing what we're supposed to be doing for our community. And it's a tough thing, but I think that too often we're making these rules up and doing these budgetary things in Madison without talking to those people. And I'm like, center those voices so you can solve the problems. And so, yeah, get the right people at the table.
I think it starts, with having a party that understands, well, we actually are, we have consequences.
Right.
You know, with how the maps have been, there has been no consequences electorally for that party for 15 years.
Right. Where you can just kind of stall everything and you're like, well, tough.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. I had the right letter behind my name in this really red district. Well, now it's going to be more reflective of what Wisconsinites want and deserve.
I would hope so. Yeah. Well, and, you know, because I think we are a freaking purple district, and we've been governed in bright red other than the mm-hmm. statewide offices for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Making things more affordable for people, that is a huge deal.
And I think that's why we saw those wins in part a couple weeks ago, like, it's because people spoke to that issue, and we need to bring it up again and again and again, because it ain't getting better, you know?
How do you do that in a rural area?
I mean, for me, it's, I don't have perfect answers, but like acknowledging, like, you are working real hard. Like, I can't imagine what it must be like. And it's people that are like, what used to work for me in the 80s or what worked, you know, like it's not the same. And the saying, like, but part of it is because as your wages or as your salary has stagnated, like the amount of profits that these corporations and the tax breaks that they're getting have gone like through the roof. And why are we accepting crumbs from these folks that don't give a crap about your average Wisconsinite that's working their tail off? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a lot of like making sure that we're putting the blame in the right spot. And it's not, because it didn't fall out of the sky. It's because the people at the top chose to withhold too much wealth, and the people at the bottom are still struggling, you know, like in a salary from 30 years ago that doesn't cut it. right. anymore.
It doesn't cut it. And then it also makes it so much more expensive for everybody else, including small businesses, to try to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to get those small businesses to have the access to the capital that they need is really, really difficult too.
Yeah. And I think that's another like good point about like the bureaucracy and the way that we are setting up our small businesses and making sure that we're cutting the red tape where we can so that they yeah. can like invest in their community and invest in these dreams that they have, and they can like make it work. They can make it happen. And I think we could do more in the state legislature to make sure that we are bolstering those entrepreneurs so that they can bring money back into our local economy.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Right?
Right. Well, you know, it is sad. It's frustrating because, you know, you turn on the news and all you see is people that are really, really struggling
mm-hmm.
from groceries to they can't afford a house to do I have to get another job, a third, fourth job
right.
just to pay for childcare. You know, it's not fair. Like that is not America.
Well, it's not fair. And I think like with the food drive that we did, you know, I went into those pantries and they were gracious enough to give me like tours, like this is what it looks like. And I asked them, each one of them, I was like, have you seen an increase? And at that point, because the government was still shut down, yes, they've seen an increase. But I said, even if it reopens, do you anticipate that you're going to see more people coming through? And they're like, oh yeah, like definitely 100%. And I talked to a gentleman out in New London this morning who's a disability advocate, and he was saying that his amount of food share that he gets has been cut in half, even with the government reopening, mm-hmm. and that's the way it's going to stay. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, I go to more food pantries, and thankfully I have a car so I can get around to different ones. But like, we need to remember that when we're fighting amongst ourselves at the bottom here, like they are laughing all the way to the bank at the top, and I'm tired of it. So I think we just need to, like, every time we're out there, say, when you are defending corporations and the like wealthiest of the wealthy, before you are thinking about your average Wisconsinite, you are not representing your constituents. This is not what this is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. Like the greatest good for the greatest amount of people means that you are fighting for working class folks.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, we haven't felt the real impact of the Trump administration yet, because, you know, you look at all of these, for example, all the tariffs that happened. And even if the Supreme Court says, yeah, you can't do that, we've already pissed off all of these countries.
Mm-hmm.
So even taking those tariffs away, they have started, you know, building relationships with other countries to source things that we would normally give to them, like soybeans and beef
yeah.
and all of these things. That's not going to just rubber band bounce back to what it was.
No.
So that means the more local we can get is so much more important, because we have to be more self-reliant because they screwed it up at the top.
Right, right. I think it's about neighbors getting back to, like, again, the community thing that we talked about at the top of the hour is like saying, let's not worry. No one's coming to save us. And frankly, like, they have proven to us time and time again with this administration that they don't give a crap.
Right.
And so if that's the case and no one's looking up.
They got a sweet ballroom though.
So,
it's so cool.
It is very Marie Antoinette of them. But like, I just feel like we need to get back to being like, you know what? We take care of us. Yeah. We take care of us. Like, until the government can get their crap together, we take care of us. And frankly, like, let's work. Let's do both things, where we solve the immediate need, the urgent right now. But we're also electing the right people that are going to say, like, unapologetically and boldly, this has never worked. We're going to fix it. We don't have time to wait. Like, let's just go.
I think it's really important, and for everybody that's running in a statewide office or really any office, I think in November, people on the left, they have to work together.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity that we haven't had since I've been in mm-hmm. politics. I've seen it from the other side. And this seems a lot like that in 2010 when there was a huge shift. And from someone running for Congress to state Senate to assembly, that we all have to work together. We all have to work together, because if you have people that are doing the whole, these are my votes, these are my, oh my God, that is the worst thing in the world.
I will say that's a good point. Like, and I'm 100% on board for that. I think what's really cool about this moment too, is that with everything going on, like from the very center independent kind of folks to the farthest of the left, like, we're finding our places to say, if you're rowing in the same direction, get in the boat.
Yeah.
Like, get in the boat. And that's what people are doing right now, where it's like, we can argue about like semantics and like approaches later, but for now, get in the boat, row with us, because we don't have time to be quabbling.
Well, I trust the people on the left's ability to figure it out so much more than I would trust people on the right
to
figure it out, because people on the left center, their ideas and their beliefs and what they want to do on what is going to help the most people.
Mm-hmm. The greatest good for the greatest amount
right.
of people.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we have just a little bit left. How do people reach out to you? How do people say, hey, I want to volunteer because, man, if this is not a targeted district, which why the hell isn't it? Anyway.
I feel like every district should be targeted this year.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know what I'm saying?
Right? Yes. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you?
So I am on all the social medias, or at least I try to be. So you can find me for just, it's just Emily Sefos for Wisconsin, and it's T-S-E-F-F-O-S, very Greek name. right. But I'm also at emily4wi.com. I have a website.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'm trying to be everywhere. And if you are in the area and you want to help out at all, like time, talent, and treasure, I will take it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think other than that, reach out to all your local candidates because they're going to need help too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if people want to donate...
Yep, just emily4wi.com. I've got a donate button there, like any good candidate should.
Yes. what an adventure this is going
to
be.
It'll be fun, yeah. I'm excited to build something, you know, I think unique and special out there. So
this is going
to
be, as Joe Biden once said, a big bleeping deal.
A big deal.
Big,
Let's
big
go.
Deal. Emily, thank you so much. I want to keep this going, and we'll have to have you back on to get an update on how it's going.
Sure, yeah,
in a couple
it.
Months. That would be awesome. In the meantime, find her, talk to her, and help her out. Thank you so much. Again, this
thank
is Mark
you.
Becker on the Rational Revolution. You'll be right back after this with my thoughts.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. No. And feeling good was
Welcome
easy
back.
Now when he sang the blues.
So many thanks to Emily Sefos, again, T-S-E-F-F-O-S. You should really help her out because I think she would be a dynamite state senator. And with everything that's going on, with, you know, the winds of change that are blowing, I think there's not a better person for that district who cares more than what she would do. Oh my God, she would be fantastic. And I'm really glad that she had a couple minutes to spend and hang out with us. But yeah, Let's all support her and be in her corner. And switching gears a little bit. So this is the last show here before Thanksgiving. And I don't know. I wanted to talk about being grateful and, you know, taking a minute to just reflect on where we are and what's important and all of that stuff. Because, man, let me tell you, there are people in my family that do not believe the things that I do. I remember last Thanksgiving, politics came up a little bit because this was just after, you know, Kamala versus Trump and all of that. And we try to tiptoe around it. And I don't do that very well, you know, not necessarily because I don't respect other people, but because, you know, the other side in that election was just so bad. And it was, yeah, targeted with racism, bigotry, and all this stuff. And I don't do that well. But I guess I look around at where I am, and here we are in Thanksgiving, and having a little bit, as my mom would say, attitude of gratitude. Oh God, she would tell us that every day. And I really didn't understand what that meant until I probably like this year. I don't know, because, you know, a little story that you probably, the TMI, but with my family, I don't think my wife and I have like slept in the same bed for a long time. We have two little children, and I hang out in my son's room. He's like eight, and my wife is with our daughter, and she's four. And that used to like just drive me nuts. And then I don't know what switched, you know, because I'm like, oh, they need to be self-reliant, da, 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 da. But then it's like, hold on. I think it was a conversation with an old coworker who he said to me, he came by my business and he's like, oh my God, your kids are amazing. And that is the best age. And I just wish I could go back to that. I wish I could have that just for a day. And then I went home and I was like, hold on. I'm living the timeline that that guy wishes he could go back to every single day. There's your attitude of gratitude, you know? And my son, he's like little, so he's still afraid of like Bigfoot and aliens and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the last thing he gets to hear at night is that he's loved. And the first thing he gets to hear in the morning is that he's loved. And everything else just falls into place. And that's the same for our daughter. And, you know, it's amazing. And I'm so grateful. And I know that this time is going to end. It's going to be over sooner than I want. But I also realize how lucky I am and how blessed I am to be able to have the understanding of what an amazing point in life that I'm at. And if, you know, years from now, if I'm old, God willing, I'm able to get that old, I want to be able to look back on life and say, hey, I had an appreciation. I had the understanding to know how blessed I was at that time, right now, you know? And that's with everything. I mean, the career that I have could go away sooner than I would like. The house that we live in could be gone in an instant. But just to be able to take a second and realize and recognize how lucky we are, that's so important. And, you know, I'm not a big Jesus or God guy. And if you are, that's great. I think that because I'm not of that religious type, I feel that my gratitude is pointed in the direction that I feel it needs to be pointed the most. And that's to the people who make life what it is. And if it's for you, if it's a God or a religious thing, I mean, that's great. But I think this year, if we can all take a moment to just have an understanding of how lucky we are, that would mean a lot to me. You know, even if this is the first Thanksgiving that you're going to be without someone that you love, what an amazing thing to have had the time and the experience and the life with those people and the memories that you have. That's a beautiful thing. And I think that if we just take those moments and center ourselves with the realization and the understanding of what is important and what makes life worth living, I think that when it comes to some of the conversations that we have in our politics, that will center us to be able to understand each other better. And my God, that's what we need. That's it. Just a little more understanding. And that starts, I think, as my mom would say, with an attitude of gratitude. Usually she said it when she was yelling at us. but hey, that's still a thing that we should do. So from all of us at this radio show and our civic media, to all of you, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I am also grateful for all of you spending your weekends with us. And I hope you continue to do that for many years to come. Hang in there, guys. We're on the way. All right. I'm Mark Becker for the Rational Revolution and Civic Media. We will see you next week. Take care.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.